Tonight we're speaking about sheep hear the shepherd's voice. I found this little graphic, this little picture of sheep, and it looks like they're listening. I found it interesting that in the songs, we had sheep in the songs. It just worked that way because it wasn't until partway. Hey, there's always one that's sleeping, right? Okay. God has directions for the body and the leaders of the church. It's his church. Passages in 1 Peter 5 are provided to provide insight into how we as the flock should act. So if you go to 1 Peter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Watch over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who entrust to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Father, I ask that you add your blessing to this word. I know your word's already anointed, and I ask you to help me to deliver the message that you've placed on my heart, and I ask the hearts and minds and ears to be open that they can hear your voice tonight. In Jesus' name. In this, it talks about shepherds and the great shepherd. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, the word shepherd and pastor are interchangeable because it's the same word. It means the same thing. And so when you hear in here, when I'm talking about shepherds, it's talking to pastors. But as we go through this, we're going to talk about sheep, and you'll see how some of the actions of a shepherd fit a pastor and vice versa. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, the first three verses here, it said, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds or pastors of God's flock. It's not my flock. It's no minister's flock. It's God's flock. The word says it. That is under your care. So he gives me an opportunity to minister to you, his flock, because you've been placed under my care. And you thought you came and found this church on your own. God brought you. He knows where he wants you. He knows where he wants you to be fed. Thank God for that. Amen? Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve and not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. There's a lot in there for a minister. Being an example to someone is like being a parent, in that you've always heard people say, don't do what I do, do what I say. Well, the word right there is just blew that out of the water, because people will watch you and do what you do, regardless of what you say. And as a pastor, that has to be forefront. Also, not browbeating and hey, I'm the pastor and you're the sheep, and hey, I'm the pastor and you're the people. It's servant. What did Jesus do? He took a towel and got on his knees and took some water. That was the job of a slave, to wash someone's feet when they came in the door. And he took on that job. The King of Glory washed the disciples' feet. He didn't lord it over. He had every right to. That's the pattern we're supposed to follow as ministers. The word elder in the Greek is sumpresbyteros. And I stretched that out to kind of get the sounds out there, because all I'm doing is sounding it out. It's a word that we also get presbyter. And a presbyter, at least in some denominations, is over a group of pastors who have churches and does a kind of a bishop's portion of work. And so that elder is someone that is over others. An overseer, an elder, are other words for that. In Acts 20, verse 28 and 29 says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. So ministers are supposed to watch over themselves. How can they follow you if you're not following Christ? So the minister has to watch over themselves, first of all. But keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. When the enemy wants to come in, he attacks the minister, the lead minister. Because when he attacks this minister, it scares everybody else. So be praying for your ministers, whatever church you're going to, whatever minister is in put over you by God, pray for them. Pray for them for protection, Psalm 91, for prosperity, for healing, for health. Keep them bathed in prayer. I'm going to try to pronounce this one. It's poimnion, which is used for the group of Christ's disciples. That's the Greek word for it, and that was the flock or the local church, and it meant the disciples, the group of people that were listening and being a part of God's flock. That was the Greek word that fit all that. Now, some of the other things about that, it was a flock, especially of sheep, or a group of Christ's disciples, or bodies of Christian churches presided over by elders. So that word meant flock, but it also was the same word used for all of the churches and the bodies of believers and the groupings, maybe as a house church or a Bible study. That one word meant all of that. As pastors, elders, and leaders, we shepherd God's flock. We're to watch over them and train them. We do not walk for them. Each one has to walk for themselves. We show you how to walk, how to eat the right things, how to rest in the Lord. You're to follow and be humble to the leadership over you. Why? Because the enemy wants to devour all believers. That's what he wants. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. He wants to pick off the weakest ones. The leaders are to watch out for the enemy, for you, and with you. Not just for you, but you're supposed to watch with. When the proper care is given, the enemy does not have a chance with the flock. You remember what David told Saul when he was out there and Goliath was doing his bellowing? What did David tell Saul? It was in 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 and 35. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. That is the work of a minister, of a pastor, that is really taking care of the sheep. They don't sit back and cry, well, we lost another one. They go after it. They take time. They spend time in prayer. They do spiritual warfare to get that one back. In John 10, we're going to read 18 verses from verse 1 through 18. We like to quote John 10:10, but let's hear it in its context this time. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of my own. As the Father knows me, even as I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received of my Father. A good shepherd. Back in that day, they would bring the sheep out of the field and they would put them in an enclosure. It had windows and it had a door. And oftentimes the shepherds would sleep right in the doorway. They kept the sheep from going out. They kept any thieves or any animals from getting in. When they were out in the pasture, they would sing to the sheep. When they were walking, they would sing. When they were in the doorway, they would sing. Why would they sing? The sheep knew the voice. And if they could hear the gentle song of the shepherd, they knew he was on watch. And they could sleep, and they could rest, and they could lay down, and they weren't worried. Because if anything was going to happen, what's Psalm 23 say? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The staff had a crook in it so that if it fell into a creek, or they could reach in and help pull it out, or into a crevice, pull it out. Or if there was one that was going the wrong way, they could kind of reach over and tug on it to pull it the right way. But the rod was to defend the sheep. When anything came against it, he had a weapon to take care of the wolf or take care of the bear or take care of the lion. Your rod and your staff, protection and guidance. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The church body is likened to a flock of sheep. Flocks must be tended. You can't just leave sheep out there alone. Do you know what happens if you leave sheep alone? They will scatter everywhere. This sheep over here decides, hey, there's something over there I want to see. It takes off walking that way. Three or four more see it moving and start following it. And one over here says, see something over here they want to go see. They go walking that way. These others don't know what's going on. They just start following. All of a sudden, you got sheep over in this part of the pasture. You got sheep over there. You got sheep over there. They're not in a tight bunch. How easy is it to protect when they're all over the pasture? You can't, because something grabs something over there and you're watching these over here. And so you keep them bunched up. Sheep will also overgraze a pasture. And so you have to keep moving them place to place. They'll get into areas and eat up stuff that they're not supposed to eat. Now you got six sheep. So you kind of, yeah, I don't want to get them over in that area. There's some stuff over there. I'm going to be picking those thorns out of them and stuff. I'm going to move them over here to the other side. One thing you don't do with sheep is you don't drive them. You don't poke and prod and beat on them. The good shepherd said he walks in front of them and they follow. Goats you drive. Sheep follow. Now you see pictures and videos and things of sheepdogs. They use sheepdogs to kind of corral. They'll go and say, I want them over here. The dog makes it easier because he runs around and he can move where they want him. But a shepherd doesn't run around chasing the sheep. He just walks. And they follow. Did you know that sheep will graze from morning to night? As soon as they get up in the morning, they'll start grazing. They just got their head down and they're just munching away. And they'll take a step and take a step. Somebody's going this way, so they just keep on eating and they just take a few steps. Next thing you know, they've traveled all the way across the pasture. It wasn't intentional. They just ate the grass as they went. Somebody went that way, so I'm going with them. Had no purpose, just did. The other thing about sheep is they will see a bush move or a shadow, and they will startle. Now all of a sudden they're running the other way. Maybe a rabbit jumped out. You got all the sheep running to the other side of the pasture. So you got to kind of watch them and be around them and listen to them and see what they're doing. As pastors and leaders, we must guide the sheep to good grasses and change the pasture that they're in frequently to prevent overgrazing. If I taught every week on the blood of Jesus, salvation by faith in the blood of Jesus and nothing else, eventually you'd say, can we have something else? This diet's getting a little stale. The same way with the sheep. You had to move them from pasture to pasture because they would overgraze one. They'd clump it all the way down to where there's nothing there. It can ruin a field if you stay in it too long. So we have to go from pasture to pasture frequently to prevent that overgrazing. Did you know sheep can be led and enticed by food? You can, if you want sheep to get over to another area, maybe you want to go move a bunch of them down the road into another pasture. Just take a bucket of food, just kind of make a little noise, swish in the bucket of grain, feed, whatever, and start walking slowly. They'll come running. They'll just all get in behind you. Hey, there's food. He's got food. He is the food truck. And we're all going with him. And he walks into the field and closes the gate behind him. You got him where you wanted to go. You know that we're just like that? Farmers exploit that flocking behavior of food to keep them together. They go throw a little food in the area. They all come over. Then go walk them where they want them. Because sheep are food-oriented, they associate humans with regular feeding, often results in seeing people as the conveyance for food. Satan used the tactic with Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The only two quote-unquote sheep on this planet, two-legged sheep, were Adam and Eve, God's flock. And Satan used food to get them to go where he wanted them to go. Satan tried that same tactic with Jesus. In Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" First of all, Satan knew he was the Son of God. You read in John chapter 1 that all things were created by him and for him. And Lucifer was a created being, an angel. He knew who his creator was. He had been in heaven before he fell, before pride was found in him. He knew who this was. So just asking, "If you are the Son of God," that was a taunt. "If you are, command these stones to become bread." He knew that Jesus could do it. Why bread? Why not a chariot of horses or an army? Because he was tempting him with food. He was hungry. Scripture pointed that out. You ever fasted 40 days? 40 days, a piece of bread looks like it's heaven. Because you haven't eaten anything. And it's like, oh, that bread. Almost smell my mom making it. He tried to tempt him with food. It was the same trick that he'd used with Eve, and it didn't work because he said the word of God. He spoke the word in that situation. Why does Satan try to use food? Because in James 1:14, we are told, "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed." You're tempted when you're drawn away with something that entices you. If he told him, "If you're the Son of God, eat that rock," even if you'd been on 40 days and he said, you're a faith person, you can speak things into existence, eat that rock. Tell God it's food and eat it. "I'm sorry, but I don't have a taste for rock. I don't eat rock. Dust kind of runs me off. I get thirsty when I eat. So no, I'm not going to eat it." Because that doesn't entice you. But someone that's been fasting, bread looks pretty good. So anything that you find yourself being tempted with, whether it's food, whether it's something else, whether it's a new this, a new that, "Oh, I wish I had, and all I can think about is that thing," you're being enticed by something that is your own lust. Lust just means that you desire it above other things. Desire it greatly. And so if you're finding you're being tempted by something, go back and say, "Hey, God, I found another thing we need to get out of my closet. This thing here, help me to get deliverance over this because I don't want to be tempted by that anymore." But the enemy used food because sheep were flock. Same mentality, same behavior. He's crafty. He's crafty, but he's not wisdom. Amen. If he was wisdom, he would never would have fallen in the first place. Amen. Now, he could see God face to face. He could see him eyeball to eyeball. He walked amongst the fiery stones in heaven. But he wanted to be God. So he didn't have wisdom. lost a whole page there. It's like that didn't sound like it came next. In Isaiah 53:6, we read, all we, there's no punctuation there, but all we, who's that talking about? Everybody. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Many people read it, all we like sheep have gone astray. Okay, all of us are just like sheep, and we've gone astray. We followed that one that took off the other way. We got scared by the bush that moved. We have gone astray. We've gone away from where the shepherd was. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Maybe we were the one that took off in our own way and other people followed. And the Lord has laid on him, Christ, the iniquities of us all. Even the fact that we messed up and drew people away, or we went astray ourselves, or we followed someone we shouldn't have. Even all of that laid on Christ. That when he died on the cross, we may still be sheep, but we can know when to move, know when to follow, and know when to run, and know when not to run. Because we hear the shepherd's voice as he walks with us, as he talks with us. Amen? I read this in online that sheep have great vision just by the way their eyes are designed. And they have good hearing. They can hear what's going on around them. Problem is they have a little short-sighted where they see something move that they don't understand what it is, and it spooks them. But they have great vision. They have a horizontal slit-shaped pupil. So in other words, their pupil is not round. It's actually horizontally allowing them to see behind them as well as in front of them. A sheep can see a field of vision 270 to 320 degrees. 360 degrees is a circle all the way around. So from that, they can see almost all the way around themselves from one eye. And with the other eye, there's only a little spot back there that they can't see without turning their head. And they can see that way by keeping their head straight. So you try to sneak up behind them, they can see you. Now, I can't see my hand pointing back here off to an angle, but a sheep could see that. It's only right behind them they can't see. But another sheep looking that way is going to see. Even if it's looking off, they're going to see it. They watch what's going on. They have great vision in that they can see around them. They know what's coming. To keep sheep from spooking, sheep need to be gentled.